Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go! Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. Episode 243, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chris Featherstone. As always, we have a huge interview for 252, ladies and gentlemen, 252 episodes this week. We are almost a little over 2 months away from our five-year anniversary, and what a way to kick off this year as we do with the weekly interviews. This week is going to be huge. I'm really, really excited to have this person on the show tonight, former WWE Intercontinental Champion, former TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you for episode 252, the one, the only, the formerly known as the Chosen One, Drew Galloway. How are you tonight, sir?
Fantastic. I'm still known as the Chosen One. I'm just wrestling's Chosen One these days.
Yes, yes. Well, in the WWE, you were the Chosen One, and that's where I want to get started tonight. Who came up with that name? How did that idea come up for you to be the Chosen One? And how far was this Chosen One gimmick going to be in the WWE? Were you slated to be world champ? How far was this supposed to go?
I have no idea, to be honest. And I guess not many people would know the answer to that question, since there's so much original content being produced. A lot of it's produced week by week.
Yeah.
So you kind of go with the flow, and it was obviously a Vince decision himself. I found out about it right before I walked through the curtain with the episode where he done the introduction for me, which was crazy, and compared me to himself and
yeah.
referred to me as badass, etc. That was, you know, completely on him. And you know, the direction of the character was himself and myself talking together and taking his direction. And obviously when he got written off of TV, it was a big hindrance to the character when Nexus wrote him off, and that was also the priority at the time. But losing Vince was something that hurt the character dramatically. And you know, eventually I was off TV. I mean, out of sight, you're out of mind when there's a lot going on, and all of a sudden I wasn't doing much.
Yeah. What do you think was the biggest detour? Because I know that they had you won the Intercontinental Championship, and then they kind of had you go on a slew of losses. I believe you lost to R-Truth 1 week. I think it was Kane one week. What was it that kind of detoured, and how did you feel about getting this big promise to be the Chosen One and then kind of going south after that?
There's not really much you can say. You just do what you can with what's given to you. Like I say, losing a Mr. McMahon character It was obviously a huge thing that affected the character. And obviously Teddy Long would want to get his revenge since I put him through such hell. So we were kind of going through that phase. And then we did the losing streak phase, which a lot of other guys also did, which never seems to work out, the old losing streak thing. And at the end of it, it just became, all right, we don't know what to do next. Maybe hang out in Superstars for a while, and then a while longer, then a while longer. And then eventually the steam you had is lost, and it's a case of restarting. But just where do you begin when you had such a strong character at one point?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there was so much promise at that time. And you were in your early 20s at that time, right? Early to mid-20s?
So, yeah, I was like 23, 24 at that time. I was signed when I was 21, 22. I did Venom SmackDown, went back to FCW, where I learned a great deal and got ready for television, because I was not ready for television when I first came to America, and then debuted as the chosen one at 23, 24.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So what was probably – what was your, I guess, most – the best moment of that chosen one gimmick? They only really lasted about 2 years, but what moment stands out? Of course, at that time you won the Intercontinental Championship, you know, early in your start. Any other moments that kind of shine in that era?
I mean, it's such a whirlwind, like during that time, like when you're younger and given that kind of opportunity, even if you're not so young. I've been wrestling a long time, even though I was young. You're kind of unrelaxed or stressed. You don't enjoy the moments. Like, it's only now at 31 years old with 16 years experience that the light switch has gone off. I've relaxed. I remember everything. I take everything in. I appreciate everything. I'm glad it happened so young, but I kind of have to look back to remember the things that happened then, because it was such a whirlwind and I was so tense all the time. I couldn't relax. But obviously, you know, Vince endorsed me. It's never been done. He'll never do it again. And that was pretty incredible and something that no one's ever had. I mean, the IC title is amazing. People have done it. And The Undertaker ended my undefeated streak, which is pretty crazy. I went into WrestleMania as Intercontinental Champion. Like, things like that are amazing. But, you know, being endorsed by, you know, the man himself who created this world, he obviously saw something in me.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that the past 2 years I've been able to do all the things that I've done around the world and, you know, show that he did see something in me, and I've been able to bring it out and harness that potential finally and show it to the world.
That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, another part that was good in that era was you became tag team champions with Cody Rhodes. Now, both of you at the time, you know, you were kind of going away, fading away from the chosen one gimmick per se. Cody was kind of trying to find a place as well. Who came up with the idea to put you two together and you know, you guys became successful? How did that come about?
Again, I assume it was probably the boss himself. Again, this is just assumptions. I'm not privy to those production meetings. But I guess both the characters just didn't have much direction at the time, didn't know what to do with us and wanted to do something with us. We literally found out when we got to the pay-per-view and we got closer to the match. We were in the match, and then they told us, you know, you're going to the tag titles, and we both looked at each other like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just like, as I say, like, with the nature of the beast, they go by week to week, figure stuff out as they go along, just because there's so many hours of TV, and you've just got to learn to go with the flow and not let things get to you too much, because that is just how things go. And you know, when you're younger, you're a bit more quick to, like, damn, why is this going this way? Or get a little more upset and a little stressed, and you don't quite realize it until you get a bit more experience in that world. So, you know, we went with the flow. We got a fun little run out of it. And I remember in the last promo, I didn't know we had a tag team name until Cody looked at me and said, the Dashing Ones are over. And I just looked around and went, Dashing Ones.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very odd tag team that was kind of put together, but you worked well together. It was really good. Did you get any pointers at that time in the WWE from anyone in particular that you went to for different pointers?
Mr. McMahon put Taker in charge of me. You know,
really?
He was the one kind of designated to me, so I would obviously listen to him. Even if he wasn't designated to me, he's the, you know, locker room leader. There's nobody like him.
Yeah.
Would always listen to himself, and you know, the boy Regal has always been there for me for advice and helping me out. And the biggest one of all, me personally, I mean, everyone in FCW as well, I want to point out, from Dr. Tom, Billy Kidman, Norman Smiley, Steve Kern, and Dusty Rhodes, when it came to talking, how I learned how to, you know, make myself understood with such a thick Scottish accent.
Yeah.
But the biggest one of all is Fit Finlay. Like, he's my mentor. He taught me how to really think outside the box and really be different and enhance my aggression to 100 and made me different from everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one. To this day, I still go to, you know, Fit and Rego. So Fit, you know, shaped me dramatically at that time.
Yeah. So yeah. And Fit and Rego are two of the most aggressive competitors that we've seen in the past 20 years or so. Speaking of The Undertaker, real quick, what are your thoughts on his streak being broke? I don't know if you've ever been asked that, but since he had such a big influence in your career in the WWE, what are your thoughts on the streak being broke? In hindsight, a lot of people favor on the side of Lesnar breaking it wasn't the best idea. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, if anybody was going to do it, there's nobody ever been alive like Brock Lesnar. But I probably, you know, wouldn't have touched it personally. But, you know, I get the thinking behind it, and no one's going to argue that Lesnar isn't that guy. If it was going to be the guy, like, he is something else, and there's just nobody, like, no younger guys at that level to give them that yet. So, you know, I probably just would have left it untouched. And if he's still going in a couple of years and anybody reaches that level when they say that's the guy for sure,
yeah,
you have to be 100% sure.
That's true.
That's true. You know, like, I was supposed to, you know, work with him back in the day, and I remember they had talking, you know, about Vince about it, you know, potential working Taker. And I remember talking to Hunter about it and pointing out that I'm fairly aggressive and, you know, get the job done in the ring, but not quite looking how I wrestle, and I didn't get it. I spoke about this recently when I watched old tapes myself, how young I look, and, you know, I was a lot smaller. I'm like, wow, you know, the ring stuff's fine, and that's, you know, a big part of it. And, you know, a lot of people focus on that more than the other aspects. You've got to remember that it has to look believable, and I'm a big believer in getting it done in the ring, looking the part, and every aspect being covered. And back then, it would not have looked believable, like me going in toe-to-toe with the Taker. And I see that now, and I look at myself now, and I see a man, and I see a confident person. You know, I don't necessarily see that back then.
That's a good point. Yeah, so, I mean, how deep were the talks with you and Taker working together? Did it go as far as you two competing at WrestleMania for the streak?
Oh, I have no idea. Like, again, the information I'm not privy to. I just know the basics, and I just go with the flow, because you have to, or you go mad.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, but there's been, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to before that have received some information, and then, you know, kind of it was rescinded and say, hey, we just changed your mind. No big reason to it. We're just kind of scrapping it, you know. But you were never told anything that deep. Am I right?
No. If things like went along the path, maybe we were hoping they were going to go at the time, I'm sure something like that could have potentially happened, but we never know for sure.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, the 3MB deal, I mean, what are your overall thoughts on that? It seemed like it had some type of promise to it in the very beginning, but then it just kind of became like a jobber type of faction. Just what are your overall thoughts on your time with 3MB?
It was a lot of fun. I guess the big problem was that when it was put together, I remember the night before on Superstars, I wrestled Jinder as a babyface, and I got a great reaction. It got over really well. Vince wanted to try it, and everybody was like, well, you should have been a babyface a long time ago. And
yeah,
the next day, I assumed that's the direction where we're going to go. And I know he wanted a band for Heath, wanted to give Heath an opportunity because he was doing such a good job with the Legends. And everybody was suggesting obvious names. And I guess, like, Dean Ambrose was actually the ones brought up, I guess. But eventually, they didn't want that. That's not the way he thinks. He wanted kind of people that were, you know, people he wouldn't think of. And a couple of guys that weren't doing much, he wanted to do something.
Yeah.
He picked out myself and Jinder.
Yeah.
And once we got it started, he put the idea forward. He was really into it, but nobody told him that I was probably going to require surgery on my wrist. So, but 1 week into the gimmick, they did an MRI on my wrist, and then it turned out I needed to get a screw in there. So that was me, like, no physical contact for 6 months.
Right.
After we did that surgery, and, you know, 6 months passes, you're standing at the side when probably the guy that's going to be the heater is the bigger aggressive one. And by the time I was ready to come back, you know, it already faded and they'd kind of lost interest, and it was what it was, but it was getting over by the end of it, especially because we were just having the time of our lives. And
yeah.
When you have fun, like I was saying earlier about relaxing, I couldn't relax when I was younger. That's when I started relaxing. And when you relax, the crowd see that, they start getting into it, and they're in on it with you. So it was a big laugh and just a great time. So yeah. I can't ever say anything negative about 3MB.
Yeah, it just seemed like it should have went a little further than what it developed to be. It was just it had a lot of promise from a faction standpoint, but I just think that it just should have did a little bit better as far as creative standpoint, especially with three great competitors like you, Gender and Heath. So was the injury kind of, in your opinion, was the injury kind of like the prelude to your release? Or, do you think that had a lot of impact towards it?
Oh, again, I'm not privy to that. I don't know. I was obviously healthy eventually, and was working out pretty hard without going too extreme, because obviously I was in a band. I wanted to look like I was in a band, so I got more lean back then, like a traditional rocker. But I'll never know. The network was going on, and they had to lose some money, and appreciate the outpouring from people and the shock, and people like fans as well as people that are as high up in the roster as you can imagine were kind of shocked, and they reached out to me, and I appreciate that. But, I always saw it as, all right, thank you. I feel like this is the right time that we, take a break for now. I've been here a long time. I've had a few different roles, and I see this as an opportunity. I never saw it as, oh my God, I lost my job. But I saw it as an opportunity. Okay, I've been thinking a lot the past couple of years of what I would do if I wasn't there. Like, how could I showcase myself? We're living the social media age, and I had some big plans for myself, and they were starting that day I got that call.
Yeah, like you said, opportunity, of course, that led to a debut in early 2015 to TNA. You were talking about the babyface aspect as well. You came in as the Rising as the babyface, and you actually stayed a babyface for quite some time, but one of the top babyfaces of the company. How was it working a babyface in TNA?
A lot of fun. I'd been gone for about 6-7 months at that point, and I went back to my home promotion in Scotland, the ICW, and my return promo got a lot of buzz at the time. Mick Foley put over on Stone Cold's podcast, and I made my first match debut for Evolve at the time, and I won in my very first indie match back. I beat Chris Hero for the Evolve title, and things were really rolling good at that point. When I got the call from TNA, like, I had a good thing going on. I told them, I don't think I'm ready to be back on TV, but I knew John Gaborik from WWE, and he told me, we're going to let you be Drew Galloway, be yourself, just speak your mind, be Drew Galloway in the ring, be the Drew Galloway with the cameras turned on. And I came in, and he stuck to his word. I was the same guy I was every other company in the world that I worked for.
Yeah.
And I had a great time there. Everything they said always happened, and whatever negative things were getting said online just weren't true. It's been such a positive environment. Everybody's just working hard to get the show going, and the things that happen backstage we can't help, but the things in the ring we could help.
Oh, yeah.
Between that 2-year period I was there, it went from like a decent show to the old guard started going out, and the new guard got a chance to stand up, step up or stand up as the catchphrase was at the time. And everybody did stand up and make the best wrestling show, I believe, at the time. And when I was the heavyweight champion, Fido Will Ashley doing the serious stuff, with EC3 doing his thing, Eli Drake got a shot, the Decay came in with the cool music, Matt Hardy was doing the most creative thing of all time with Jeff Hardy. It was just such a smorgasbord of professional wrestling and different things and different looking people, and that's what wrestling needs. I believe it was a top show at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just about to, talk about all the feuds that you had in TNA. You really had an opportunity to really showcase. You talked about your maturity and your growth. I think TNA was a really, really good opportunity for people to really know, from in the States at least, to really know the potential that you had. I mean, like you said, Matt Hardy, Lashley, EC3, Moose, Eddie Edwards, all the people that you had an opportunity to really go against was really good for you as far as a showcasing standpoint. The big question mark right now, I'm sure you can't go too far into it, but what are you looking at as far as TNA at this point?
I think the company's in a secure position now, like compared to where they were at. As I said, the issues were always with the management and the money area, I guess. It was very public, which was pretty embarrassing, but the roster was always strong, the roster was great, and now it looks like we're in a good position. And my contract comes up in 3 weeks now, I believe. And we're currently in talks, and I really, hope things work out the way I want them to work out. And it's common knowledge now because I read it all the time, and the internet seems to know more than I ever I ever say to anybody, or more than I know. So everybody knows that, you know, like I've turned down certain deals, and I've been somebody that's been able to grow British wrestling over the past couple of years to where it's at today, and you know, these companies around the world. I feel like I've done a lot of good work for wrestling, and you know, I've been rewarded by, you know, the fans and the way people react, and also, you know, pay wise, I've been very fortunate to do such a good deed. But you know, we just have to figure things out. You know, there's obviously people reaching out and all of that jazz that I can't go into, but I'm just hoping things work out the way I hope they work out, because I'm having such a good ride right now.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so you have a big, big event coming on up this weekend, talking about Great Ride. There's a big event in the UK for Five Star Wrestling. Let the listeners know about that.
So it is one of the biggest things of all. Like, I talk about all the cool things I've done so far. You know, it's one thing after another. I've been so fortunate to represent so many different great companies like the ICWs, the Evolves, the TNAs. And I've got a call last week to, hey, Drew, would you come down and do the press conference for the Five Star Show? And, you know, I came down and made the big announcement. The big announcement was, we're not just having a show. We're having a show that's going to be broadcast live on Stake TV in the UK for the first time ever. I think there was one British show broadcast for the, you know, Prince Philip maybe in the 60s or something, and one other show maybe in the 50s. But basically in the modern age, for sure, it's the first live British wrestling. We talk about British wrestling coming back. When I went into ICW 3 weeks after being gone from WWE, I said I will get it back on TV. Now it's a case of not just, you know, the UK guys. We have all the different best stars from across the world. Myself, Ray Morrison, Yolito is going to be there. And it, back in the day, it used to be, we wanted to go to America. There was nothing in the UK. We aspired to go to America. Now the people from around the world, the Americans, the Mexicans, the Japanese, they aspire to come to the UK. And it's all happening in Scotland. And that makes me absolutely fired up like hell, as you can tell by my voice.
Yeah, you're cutting a promo. I like it.
That's not a promo. Like, when you see me do that on TV, that's not a promo. That's just true in real life. When you see me with the mic and I get fired up, that's like what I do in real life. I'm doing it right now. It's not a promo. This is just real life, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like a promo, and people get engaged and engulfed in promos as wrestling fans. I like it, man. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate your time as well. You said that there's people who know more than you do. There's rumors that the WWE have contacted you as far as the UK. You know, here's your platform to shoot them down, or say you don't want to go into them before we leave.
Well, there's, you know, contract stuff. I can't, you know, comment who's contacted and said what. And all I can say is I'll be making the best, you know, decision for my family's future. I am, you know, a married man now, and a house and responsibilities at 31.
Yeah.
But I will tell everybody, you know, when it comes to the Five Star, this is a big deal. It's on the 28th. This Saturday at the Dundee Ice Arena. It's on Spike TV from 8 to 10. It's not a one-off. There's a series already being commissioned. Like, it's not a case of we might get a TV show out of this. So it's on Spike TV or Channel 5. I don't know which one the series is going to be on yet, which is huge in the UK. So keep your eyes open during the summer, because that's going to be coming as well. And I just want to thank everyone for supporting me up to this point. Supported me in WWE from the highs at the lows. You were always speaking up, saying do something with Drew. And then when I was out and I started doing something, he stuck behind me, told a friend, told a friend, told a friend. Now we're doing some big things. So thank you, everybody.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. Who's the best wrestler? What's the greatest match you've ever had in your career? Last question.
It's so hard to pick one. I've had so many fun ones. I really, really would struggle to name one. I look at, for one of the big ones where I feel like I really made it, going out of WWE, myself and Johnny Gargano had a big match during the WrestleMania weekend, which I call the wrestling weekend, not WrestleMania weekend, because there's a bunch of shows on. The biggest fans from around the world come to the one area, they go to other local shows, then they go to Mania. So wrestling weekend, it was myself versus Johnny Gargano for the Evolve and Dragon Gate USA title.
Yeah.
And I won both titles, flew back home to Scotland after the show as the ICW Evolve and Dragon Gate USA champion, and showed up in Scotland with all three belts.
Nice.
And that was when that's when I really felt like I made it. Like, wow, I'm doing some cool stuff here. And, you know, winning the TNA belt is amazing, and just doing all the stuff I'm doing is amazing. Being part of ICW and watching it grow and helping it grow, forget, the biggest independent show of all time, yeah, with 6,200 people, and Finn Balor hitting me with a pipe when he's in WWE and I'm in TNA. Like, 2016, anything could happen. In 2017, I'm scared what's going to happen.
Yeah, I like it, man. Good stuff, man. I really, really appreciate it. Best wishes to you, Drew. I mean, like you said, you're only 31 years old, so, you know, you've done so much so far, and, you know, being only 31, there's so much more to go, you know, God willing. So appreciate your time, and wish you the best.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Once again, Drew will be at Five Star Wrestling this weekend. Check out Five Star Wrestling on Facebook, and he will be there, and he will turn some heads, and he'll make sure to leave a legacy that night at Five Star. Thanks a lot, Drew, and you have a great night.
Sorry, anytime, bud. I'll speak to you all soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. Our mind, let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, you and God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we repping that work pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go lose too. You through, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Drew Galloway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the interview. Drew Galloway, the former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, the former WWE Intercontinental Champion. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much for availing yourself on the interview right now. We have so much to talk about. This is Royal Rumble Go Home Show, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, we got so much to talk about. So I'm going to bring on my boy. He's starting to become a regular, and I love every minute of it. Without further ado, Evan Tech Prout from Under Matt Radio. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing good. Good to be here live. Pancakes and Power Slams.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. All right, we got so much to go. We got so much to talk about tonight. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the headlines. Here we go. So everything that I'm talking about tonight, you can find it either on the Inquisitor or on SportsKita. I've written articles about all of these topics. So Google the topics if you want to know more about it. But we're going to go pretty much in depth about the topics that we're going to talk about tonight. The first one is WWE still interested in airing TNA content. They had a recent survey that had a bunch of European indie promotions. For some reason, they had TNA sandwiched in between a bunch of indie promotions as far as what promotion the fans in the WWE Network would like to see. So, and this is not the first time that they've done this too. They've done it last year as well. So it seems like WWE possibly has a hidden agenda to see if people would be interested in watching TNA content on the network. I'm 100% sure, in my opinion, that this is very intentional. They went from not mentioning TNA at all and pretending they didn't exist to mentioning them multiple times as far as if they want content on the network. Now, it's been, you know, confirmed through Vince Russo, one of his podcasts, that John Gerberich and Dixie Carter did talk to Vince McMahon, which angered Billy Corgan. And, you know, that was one of the biggest issues as far as just the lawsuit is concerned, going behind, you know, his back as a president at the time and fronting him a bunch of money to talk to Vince McMahon. So, I mean, it's interesting because you have Anthem. It didn't really seem like – we talked about Anthem a lot last week, too. It didn't seem like Anthem's that much, you know, heavily invested in TNA. So, you know, it really brings a great deal of interest to see, you know, why WWE is still bringing up TNA as far as being on the network.
Yeah, it is interesting. I hope it don't happen. You got enough content.
Really? You don't think you wouldn't like to have TNA on there?
Nope. Need to be separate. Because my thought is, you know, of course we heard the rumblings, and no pun intended, the whispers of, you know, Vince trying to get TNA and TNA library. Maybe we saw the WWE. This is the thing. 90%. Now, I'm just giving an average, so I'm not a mathematician. 90% of wrestling past and wrestling lore and wrestling, the ghost of wrestling past and even modern, is WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do have left, that's non-WWE, that's you know, the TNA, the Ring of Honor, the Global Forces, you know, of course, Japan is safe. And let that be separate. Everything else is WWE, WCW, WWE, NWA, WWE, Mid-South, WWE, UWF, WWE, World Class, WWE, AWA. So all of them territories.
Global
and all
Wrestling
of them,
Federation.
Every wrestling federation we grew up with that we loved is under the umbrella of WWE.
True.
Let TNA be by itself. Whatever, I don't know if it's TNA or Impact or the Impact Hour, Anthem, whatever you call it. Let Impact the TNA be by itself. Contact. How can I forget my buddy, say, Lucha Underground? Montana, contact Hulu, contact Amazon, contact Netflix. Hey, we can pay you a certain amount of money a month, and you can stream our services. We have our own TNA channel. WWE Network got enough. They have enough content. They have enough original programming. I mean, it's don't gobble everything up. We still, you know, we still need something. That's like you got Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Now, I do drink soda. I'm not a caffeine addict, but I like soda. Coca-Cola by itself, brand name, anything that has Coca-Cola's name on it from back in the day is automatic money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, Pepsi is still $1 million, but Coca-Cola has the bigger name. So that's if Coca-Cola decided to buy 7-Up and buy, you know, Mellow Yellow. I'm sorry, Ohio, y'all call it soda pop or pop. You know what I mean? That's if Coca-Cola decided. Yeah, pop. That's if Coca-Cola decided to buy up every soft drink shared, and it was only 7 Up, Dr. Pepper, and you know what I mean, RC Cola, and you know what I mean. It's like let there be a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and,
yeah.
You know,
I think you make a lot of sense. I agree with you. My biggest thing is that TNA. I mean, what's their shelf life right now? I mean, you know, I interviewed Al Snow a few weeks back, and you know, he was talking about I asked him about the 9 Lives, and he think it's a good idea, and I agree with them in that sense. As far as you know, the WWE needs competition. They're booking for years has been so lazy and lackluster that they need the competition, but TNA has just shown that they're not it. I mean, just, and they, I mean, Drew made a good point. I agree with Drew. I agree with him wholeheartedly. They have the talent. I mean, last year TNA had so much talent, so much good talent wrestling for the company. EC3, Drew Galloway, Eddie Edwards, Matt Hardy, Jeff
right.
Hardy, Baby Lashley.
Richie.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And so you had so Eli Drake, my boy, Eli Drake.
Yeah.
They had so much good people on the roster, Aaron Rex. And it's like it wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do. And again, what Drew said, it had nothing to do with people outside the backstage, you know, away and inside the ring. Their in-ring work was good. I couldn't stand, and I still don't like the grand championship concept. I think that's just stupid. However, I do think that, you know, there's so much potential there that, you know, I just think it's damaged goods at this point, especially with Anthem buying them. And you know, you got so many that mid-card championship. I think that's one of the worst things about TNA throughout their 15 years almost of existence, is because they cannot keep a steady mid-card championship to save their lives. You know, of course you have the X Division, but you know that goes up and down throughout the past.
Who's
15.
The X Division champ?
DJ Z, I believe he is now. If I'm not mistaken, DJ Z still has the X Division Championship. But
it's like you said, you had with TNA, it's the World Heavyweight Champion and the Tag Champs. All the other belts was like who I didn't know who the X Division Champ was.
Yeah.
You got
Trevor Lee
Galloway.
Trevor Lee just won it recently.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's the second reign, yeah.
Well,
he won it a couple weeks ago.
At one point, TNA was the world title, and you had the X Division, and you had the tag titles. And those are the main three belts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just spoiled it. I'm just sorry. DJ Z, for those who are currently watching TNA, DJ Z is the champion, but spoiler alert, Trevor Lee wins, and it should be airing, I think, a couple weeks. No, next week, Trevor Lee will win it again. But DJ Z is currently the champ, but, you know, it's one of those things that, like you said, and sorry to cut you off, but like you were saying, just nobody really knew.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's your show. You're the boss horse. So it's fine. At one point, TNA was the X Division title, and you had the tag titles, and you had the world title.
Mm-hmm.
You probably had another, the King of the Mountain never mattered to me. This was like the old Buckhouse Stampede.
Yeah.
There was cool,
right.
Whatever.
right. Perfect example
now,
of that.
Now you got the world title, you got the tag belts, and that's it. It's like the X Division champ, okay, whatever. It looks weird, the title. You got
the awful-looking title.
Yeah, it looks awful. You got the MMA rules. Drew Galloway, you just had him. Drew Galloway just wrestled, I forgot who it was. Just watched TNA. It used to be the King of the Mountain Championship. They keep changing the name and the look. It's like
yeah,
the belt
grand
or the MMA rules.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, that belt.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you have the ladies championship. So it's just kind of like, you know, they have so much talent, and it's kind of like their car that just won't die. Or anybody watch Dragon Ball Z or an anime, it's like their villain that, you know, you think you kill him, and he comes back, it's the second form, and it's the third form, and it's the final form, and the imprint form. It's like you won't, and I'm glad it won't go away, because I said this all the time on my show, and like you, we have friends that work there, and of course we want them to still make money. They won't die. It's like they won't die and go away.
Yeah.
And I think outside the box, I say this, the team, they can't do it by themselves. Eagles are going to be in place, but wouldn't it be cool if they did some kind of, not a civil war, but some kind of fusion where you had TNA, at least your underground mesh up, and do a show with all them, you know, all the talents combined, go on live.
I like the idea. I just think Lucha is such in a class by itself.
Oh yeah. I want not Lucha. Have Lucha go live.
Yeah, I would merge them with New Japan again. They worked with Japan for a few years.
Yeah.
A while ago.
TNA.
Yeah, when they had the Team 3D was they won the tag titles in Japan. They had Motor City Machine Guns doing a lot of work there. Even Kevin Nash was on Wrestle Kingdom when he was in TNA. So I mean, it's just the partnership was great. I'm a big fan of them. I mean, especially now. I mean, New Japan's always been popular, but since since the Bullet Club and Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. You know, Tanahashi's been, you know, he's been the man for quite some time now. But you have these young guns, you know, like Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada. He's been around for a while, but he's been the top dog for the past few years. TNA working with them now would be amazing, especially as either them or someone in the UK. Every time TNA goes in the UK, and they're in the O2 Arena. And the arena looks absolutely packed. I don't remember who I spoke to from TNA on the show. I think it was maybe Abyss. I don't remember who it was that I interviewed from TNA. I think y'all know. I was just saying, as far as like the O2 Arena, every time they go in the UK, it looks amazing. It looks
right.
You know, the UK crowd is really big in TNA. Understand that they wouldn't want their entire roster, you know, to go to the UK and live there. But at the same time, the UK market, as Al Snow said a few weeks ago on my show, as Drew Galloway, you know, who works in the UK market a lot of times, said tonight, it's such a booming market now that they can partner with like an ICW or I think Progress is another big UK federation promotion. They can partner with one of those people and do really good things.
Yeah, I mean, they can easily do it. You see, this is the messed up part. WWE just did the UK championship, which I know, Stone Feather, you didn't watch yet. I watched both nights. It was good. I mean, I'm used to watching UK style. It's not anything new to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, you got people that live in this WWE bubble. If it's not WWE, it's not right. WWE or die. It's like so much out here besides WWE. Like, get out your bubble. TNA does go the route and merge with the ICW, like WCW used to do with Japan, even Mexico.
Right.
If people say, well, they been like WWE. Nah.
It's good
like,
business.
You know, merge with, you got New Japan, which is hot.
Yeah.
ICW's hot. Merge something together with the talent, do some kind of talent exchange. And I still believe it. If TNA keep doing these tape shows on, there's a Pop TV now. I was going to say Destination America. It's like, is this going to be there? With a war, you got to do something to make yourself known. And I still stay in the field. You know, not saying do it now, but plant the seeds. You got Jared and Dutchy. Plant the seeds. Get some people in. And just go live. Do something to get WWE's attention. WWE does keep an eye on it. But like the little brother.
Yeah.
But WCW used to be the little brother, too. Now, granted, they don't have the money Turner does, but you got to do something to make yourself known. You got to do something to set a fire up WWE's tail, because they under the brainwashing mentality of all, you know, SmackDown beat Raw and the Ratings. It don't matter. You're under the same umbrella. You're getting paid.
Right. That's the reason.
Don't matter who
you notice how they subtly move Taker over Raw more now?
Yeah, and then they cover up that plot hole talking about you go on SmackDown, just right real quick. Taker shows up on SmackDown. I don't know how many times this man is going to resurrect, die, come back from the dead, return or whatever. And he does a promo for SmackDown, says you better win, if not, you got to deal with me, which was a waste of time because SmackDown loses, but yet he shows up on Raw. And they cover up the plot hole, and they cover up the lackluster of Raw being Bleach. As I say, Raw is Bleach and Raw is Boar. You have Taker show up on Raw because Raw needs a ratings or some kind of boost because of the college championship. I'm not going to – yes, I'm old. I called it the BCS. It's not that anymore. you're going to come in and say, Undertaker, I'll go wherever I want and go, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to cover up a hole. So what was the point of the promo that you did in front of Team SmackDown? You didn't even do anything with that, but yet now you forget all about getting on SmackDown for losing. That whole storyline was stupid. Oh, that's forgot about. That was filler. So we're just going to insert Undertaker on Raw so he can boost the ratings because the ratings are sucking awful so he can insert himself in the Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, great point. I mean, you made some fantastic points there. I agree with you wholeheartedly as far as just, you know, The Undertaker just making his, like you said, just trying to find some way to cover up. To me, it was a subtle move. I believe it was a subtle move because SmackDown has been and is the better show as far as just the opportunity, as far as just really spending time to make younger talent look good and really, you know, showcasing younger talent, you know, like the Baron Corbins of this world. I'm not a Kalisto fan at all, but, you know, at least they're giving him some, they're even showing him a little bit of love. But, you know, the opportunity is there on SmackDown. On Raw, it's the same matches with Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho every single week. And it's like, you know, Seth Rollins is in there too. And we'll talk about Raw here in a minute. But, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that they're bringing on The Undertaker, who's just typically, historically, traditionally a SmackDown guy, but it just seems like they need some type of star power, you know, to bring Raw, to kind of bring some type of spark to Raw. Because like I said, you know, or like I wrote on Sportskeeda, Roman Reigns, and this is before just before this week, I think 15 out of 19 matches that Roman Reigns, went on a Raw, was against Kevin Owens. So it's horrible.
It's like the old days. I used to joke. Remember back in the late 90s, where we joked and said, "How many times are we going to see Triple H against The Rock?"
Right.
We saw that around every darn week. It was Raw. And it was SmackDown and a live event. And it's funny, and me being tech, I point out stuff nobody mentions. And it's funny because Fully Loaded 97 and 98, Raw and Triple H fought each other.
Yep.
One was like a strap match, and I don't know what that was. But, I mean, granted, it was short Raw. It was Baby Rock before the liposuction and before the bylaws of Triple H. The matches were good. And granted, they had a lot of talent. But still, it was like, how many times are we going to see this match? It's not Sting and Flair. It's not Sting and Steam. It's not Sting and Steamboat never fought. We never got that. But it wasn't Flair and Steamboat or the Midnight and Rock and Roll feud was 15 darn years. Sting and Flair been feud for 20 plus years. But in the middle, they still fought the Marquee. You know, they still fought other people.
Yeah.
Every week is Raw. I did the tweet last night. And I said, I think I tweeted out on Raw and said, wow, you know, then wow, shout out hashtag Raw, WWE, we get to see, I think it was Reigns and Jericho, 108, see it again for the first time. So it's like, okay, it's nothing against Reigns. I'm not a big Reigns fan. I don't hate him. But Reigns is the new Cena. Cena's part-time. Cena's, and now all the remnants, if you will, of Cena is going to Reigns.
Yeah.
Same
yeah,
way
and
Cena got booed,
thing.
Reigns is getting booed.
You can't, and we got to, I got to get to the next point here, bro. Just real quick, you make a good point there, because when I was thinking about what I was thinking while you were talking about that is that when you said Reigns is the new Cena, Cena to me is what totally damaged the product as a whole, because, you know, most of the entire WWE throughout his 15 mm-hmm. years, I'd say at least a dozen of those was revolved around him. He didn't have that larger in life ability. You know, that's not abnormal, because the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression kind of threw a bunch of people in the hat, and it, was, and it worked, especially Ruthless Aggression. Well, Attitude Era did too, because there was a lot of people. If one person was gone for a while, like Austin, you know, when he was gone for a year, there were still people to fill in for him.
Yeah, like
but
like
at the same time, there wasn't a lot. You know, Cena didn't have that larger in life feel to do, because they were basically with Cena, they went back to like the Hogan days and the Bruno days. You know, in the 70s it was Bruno, in the 80s it was Hogan. You know,
Backlund.
And it's like and Backlund. Backlund more in the 70s. But it's like one of those things where you can't revolve the company around someone if you don't make that someone a larger than life figure like they did with Hogan and Bruno. Yeah. And they don't have that ability to do that with Cena, because they're not really booking him properly to really defy the odds, you know, because the storyline and the narrative is just horrible.
That is true. And to add the point, you're right. And something to also add on to that, Cena was built as a machine. Difference is, Cena being built so big, Cena also didn't have anybody on his level that could carry the flag when he was gone. And not only that, you also have to have a strong mid-card that he didn't have around the Cena Nation years, or whatever you call it. Because, you know, you had Bruno, broke records all over. You had all of them people, and Bruno Russell, but you still had Pedro Morales. You still had superstar Billy Graham. Then Backlund came in. Backlund was champ for 8 darn years.
Jesse Ventura.
Right. Jesse Ventura. Adrian Adonis. And I'm going to go way back. Rene Goulet.
Larry Zbysko.
You know, yeah, Larry Zbysko. And we're just talking about the singles. We're not even getting into tags. And then if you go to Hogan, Hulkamania, Hogan was Hogan. You still had Iron Sheik, and if Hogan was gone, you still had Warrior. You had Savage 4 years as champ. You had King Kong Bundy. And then the mid-card sometimes was better, was the actual better wrestling match. You had Rude,
Honky Tonk,
man. You had these guys. You had Steamboat when he was there. And when Steamboat left, you had DiBiase and the Mountie and Brett and Baby Sean.
Perfect.
We're going on and on about, perfect. All these people, that Hogan was the man. Hogan took a time off. Hogan didn't even main event WrestleMania 4. It was the tournament.
Right, the tournament, right. It was Savage one, right.
Well, Hogan was there, and it was at Orange Face Plaza, you know, sitting around with Trump. So it was at Trump Plaza. So, but Hogan was there, but he didn't.
Yeah, he was out ringside.
He was at ringside. You still had, it's like a movie. You still had strong enough support. WCW, of course, we know, getting NWO, but you had Sting and Savage and Flair and the Steiners and the Road Warriors. But that's the problem with Cena. It was Cena or bust.
Right.
Cena's there.
Hashtag Cena or bust.
Cena or bust. Well, I mean, granted, and I love Orton. I was more of an Orton fan than Cena.
Yeah, but
again, you had, you know, Cena was like, okay, you know, football. You got Montana, you know, one of the greatest of all times. And then you have Orton is like, okay, Orton was like Marino. No, it was good. You know, great too.
Right.
But not Montana. You know what I mean? Or Elway. You know, great, but not Montana. Or you get what I mean? Or Unitas.
Yep.
And then it's like, who the hell are you going to fight? You know, CM Punk, okay, well, we know how to see how that went. You know, Ziggler, see how that went. The Miz,
right,
okay, see how that went. Oh, we got bringing, you know, Steroid Rock to come in from Hollywood, and then he get hurt. So, that's the problem now. I mean, now they have a better support cast, but Raw is this, I mean, 2 years ago, it was like SmackDown is bleed, SmackDown sucks, who the hell who watches SmackDown, you know what I mean? It was taped. I ain't watched SmackDown in 2 years. Now it's the reverse. SmackDown is live now. SmackDown is great again, like the Ruthless Aggression era. And that was maybe the best time around then because you had so many people that was interchangeable. They could be main events for working in the middle. You had Angle, Baby Brock, Mysterio, Edge, Benoit, yeah, he still existed, Eddie, the tag teams. They had so much. Right, Booker, excuse me. They had so many. They had so much talent that they had some of the good tag teams in the Ruthless Aggression era with two singles guys. They had no tag experience. Still made all these good tag teams. Booker T and RVD, Edge and Edge and Mysterio. Do you have RVD and Booker T and
the Hurricane and Kane? How about that?
Hurricane and Kane, right? It was so many tag teams.
Sean Morley and Lance Storm.
Oh, well, I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Right. The Chief. Chief
right.
Morley.
Was it Jericho and Christian?
Yep. Yeah, the Young Americans.
So, yeah, hopefully I ain't talked too long, but Cena or Bust is. I think that's what we call the era. Cena or Bust.
Right. Right. That's the era. Cena or Bust. I like it. On a more somber note, I just want to, you know, give a shout out to my boy, Rico Constantino. I'm not going to talk too much about this, but just keep Rico in his prayers. I wrote an article on Inquisitor.
Yeah.
He reached out to me. Just let him know. The quote is on the article on the Inquisitor, but our prayers are with Rico that he gets back into really good health and. You know, my angle in writing my piece was just the constant and dire need for WWE, especially someone like WWE, to really get themselves together as far as just the insurance piece. I mean, you got a class action lawsuit going on right now with over 50 people, you know, and I spoke to Jim Brunzell. He was on my show twice, but he was on there last year, you know, talking about the role and the reason why and, you know, just share the story as far as just him competing and, you know, falling on the back of his head, you know, being knocked out, being told by a local doctor that he can't wrestle. And then, you know, him being told by one of the agents at the time, we don't have a replacement, so you got to go in, you know, and it's just ridiculous. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with Rico Constantino. Everybody listening, you know, just send him a prayer, you know, hopefully, you know, he gets well soon. Kurt Angle possibly being in the Royal Rumble entrant, he kind of shoots down the rumors. I heard on a recent report, but he pulled out of the Five Star Wrestling show that Drew's going to be on this weekend. So, I mean, it's WWE pulled him. And, you know, they're saying because it's going to be on Spike TV UK, a conflict of network, but it's a whole different brand, a whole different country. And, you know, it's one of those things that, to me, it's not a coincidence that WWE pulled him. He's not even signing a contract. He's not a WWE employee. He's just being in the Hall of Fame. So the very fact that WWE pulled him without any obligations, you know, that he has right now, because there's dates that he has, you know, for the rest of the year. So he's, you know, he's still competing in indies. So the very fact that they pulled him a day before in UK, to me, that's not a coincidence.
Now, I agree with you. It's just, like I said, is Angle going to be in the Rumble? He downplayed it. Angle can still wrestle, we know. Is he going to be in the Rumble? We don't know. But WWE to pull him from an event, that lets you know he could be doing. And I explained to somebody how the Legend contract worked. You know, he's now a part of the Legends contract, so you know he's going to be doing a little promotional work and the Hall of Fame stuff and the Road to Mania, whatever they call it. But it's like now you're taking him away from the event, so now you got to figure out why. So is Angle going to wrestle in the Rumble? Maybe not. is he going to make an appearance in the Rumble? Maybe so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think him being a surprise entry would be absolutely fantastic. I think it'll pop huge.
All right, now, I did hear that he did shoot down the facts of him being in a Rumble. I'm not. What exactly did he say? Do you know?
I don't remember the direct quote, but I think it just came out today or yesterday that he shot down being in the match. But I mean, what does that mean? I mean, of course he's going to shoot it down. If if he's a surprise entrant, he's of course going to shoot it down. So that didn't really mean anything to me much. All right, real quick, Kenny Omega not being through a Rumble, similar to the same issue as far as having a prior engagement. He's going to be in Chile this weekend, so he's pretty much done. And the last Kenny Omega, Tay Long, potentially in the WWE Hall of Fame. I reached out to Teddy. He texted me back and said that he haven't heard anything about it. So somehow, somebody knows something before him. I asked him if he got a call. He said he never. He hasn't got a call. He knows anything. He knows nothing about it. So he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame 100%. But that just goes to show that you can only believe certain amount of things.
Exactly. Is Virgil? I'm just joking. Is Virgil ever getting in the Hall of Fame?
He may slide in there.
You already know my, people that know me and my show already know. You can look it up, Virgil Under the Mat Radio. And this is nothing to you personally. And personally, he hasn't done anything to me. I know I sent you a funny clip of Virgil from the Rumble '94, but I personally don't think he deserves to be in it.
No way.
He's the best buddy. I mean, granted, people talk about Brutus Beefcake being Hogan's buddy and was everywhere Hogan, but at least Brutus, Brutus, the Booty Man, Zodiac, we will call him Apocalypse.
Yeah, the man with no name. Disciple.
Yeah, man with no name. Man, I'm getting started on that. You can do a whole show on that.
Exactly.
The Butcher. Yeah, the Butcher.
Right.
We went through seven names already.
Right.
At least he had a cultural impact. You know, he had the scissors, and which really wasn't scissors; it was more like shears you would cut hedges with.
Right.
But he had more of a cultural impact. You know, and Virgil was like, "What did you do?"
Nothing. He was a lackey for our quote unquote bodyguard.
Right. Yeah. You know, he's like a. He's like a better version of a Barry Horowitz or a Rocky King.
Yeah, exactly. So
shout out to Rocky King.
S.T. Jones.
S.T. Yeah. Jones, Special Delivery, and Pistol Pez Whatley, and Iceman King Parsons. You know, those
Whatley,
guys,
baby.
Okay. Oh, maybe. Virgil. anyway, I know I'm going off topic with Virgil.
Yeah.
But Teddy deserves it.
Yeah, this pretty much describes Virgil's career in the WWE.
I'll fade away and classify myself as obsolete.
Real quick, let's get to the Raw and SmackDown recap. Just your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown for this week.
Raw was better. It wasn't necessarily Bleach. I give it pound sol. Goldberg is out of shape. Busting your head wide open, you out of breath, you got sweaty neck backs. And I like Goldberg. It is my concern is I hope Goldberg is ring shape. We watched wrestling so long. I had a feeling Taker was going to show up. I kind of popped for that to see Taker in the ring with Goldberg and Goldberg and Brock. Big Show looked great, 396. Why is he wearing American flag on his tights? We don't know.
I don't care.
I love how they booking Strowman. The Triple H Seth Rollins thing. Okay, I could have swore I saw Seth Rollins on the Royal Rumble poster that they've been promoting the past couple of weeks. But now he's not in the Rumble. Yeah, okay. SmackDown was good. Alexa Bliss can really talk. I like her. Miz and Dean Ambrose, we've seen that match 30 times, but it's still better than Reigns and Jericho. Now, Mojo Riley wins, who cares? You're going to get eliminated in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cena and AJ. And like I said, I always loved AJ, personal friends with the man. Great work. And I love the little heel tendencies with Cena. Cena and AJ, great chemistry. And he planted, I'm doing dust if you will, planted the seeds that it, in the subtle seeds of the possible rumored match that could come true of AJ and Shane.
Because oh,
they,
yeah.
They mentioned the AJ Royal Rumble, the poster, whatever it was, poster thing. So, and like I said, Cena was always okay, but I like Cena. He's able to kind of tweak a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, being kind of heel. I don't see Cena winning, but I like Cena tweaking a little bit him against AJ. So, SmackDown to give it
yeah.
to the, Orton and the Wyatts. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, I shared most of my Raw thoughts on the review on the Craig Russick Facebook page. However, I think that the biggest thing is that Raw was good. Raw was good. It was some, like I said, there were some ups and downs. However, I do think that. I do think that Raw did a very good job, you know, pulling out the strings as far as just the go home show. This is probably one of the,
right,
the best
right.
go home shows that I've seen.
That.
Yeah, the,
right.
the WWE. That's one of the best
that.
Ones I've seen in a long time. Because
right.
it seems like after the network, you know, the inception of the network a few years back, it just seems like their go home shows, they don't even care about them.
Suck.
Yeah.
Do you remember back when, maybe this was 2001, maybe two, remember when Raw and SmackDown was all one, and actually SmackDown, they continued storylines from Raw to SmackDown, and
yeah.
it's a viral video, one of my favorite endings ever, where it was the go home, this when SmackDown had the go home show to the Rumble, and everybody came out and did their finishing move. It was like Kane chokeslammed RVD did a 5-star on Jericho, Austin did a stunner, laid everybody out. The Rock, Big Show came out. It was the perfect ending that made you excited for the Rumble.
And then Vince came out, right?
Did Vince come out at the end?
Yeah, I think he came out at the end, yeah.
Yeah,
and Shane did the flying chair
shot. Flying, yeah,
right.
chair, right. That's
yeah.
it, right.
Yeah,
I still to this day watch it. I get pumped for that. I'm like, that's 11, 15 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not happening now, but you know what happened to those shows? This Go Home Raw was good. Raw didn't suck. It was decent. You know, it got you pumped for the Rumble. Remember the Rumble?
Oh yeah, definitely, absolutely. I totally agree. All right, so I think that was great. As far as SmackDown, real quick, my thoughts. Solid. Orton Harper may. It seemed like it may lead to a triple threat match between the Wyatts at WrestleMania, which I'm fine with because, you know, I think Luke Harper getting a prominent spot like that on Mania is fantastic. He deserves it. Mickie James worked. I liked, you know, her angle and the description of her turn and being with Bliss. It was good. I think it worked, and
mm-hmm.
I think that. That's a good setup with him, with her and Becky Lynch. I don't know if it'll happen at the Elimination Chamber as opposed to WrestleMania, but I'd give him a WrestleMania spot. I'd be fine with that. Mojo Rawley, like you said, he'll go out soon. But, I mean, I don't know why. There's a part of me that likes Mojo Rawley. I have no idea why.
I like Mojo. I do.
Yeah, I like him. I like him as well. And then, of course, like you said, Ambrose and Miz, a good match, but you know, we've seen it 1,000 times. I did want to talk about Naomi, though.
Ooh.
I'm a huge Naomi fan.
Oh, you really?
And I love the entrance. That's the thing. I like what they're doing as far as making her character exciting. And one of those characters that the fans really don't have a choice but to be excited about. I was thinking in my head, like, because before Alexa Bliss came out, I was thinking in my head, Naomi hasn't been there in a few months. It would have been a perfect opportunity for her to save Becky Lynch while she was getting double teamed. Like they, you know, for weeks it was La Luchadora and Bliss, and then of course they reveal La Luchadora to be Mickie James. You know, when they double teamed her, I think Naomi making the save would have been good. I didn't like how they kind of went into that Naomi spot because Naomi's not a strong mic worker. She's an amazing athlete, but she's not good on the stick at all.
She looks good. She can wrestle.
Yeah.
She can't talk.
Yeah, exactly. She's not good. She definitely needs some promo classes. But she makes it up in the ring. Her character is lively enough, exciting enough for that. However, I was pleasantly surprised when Alexa Bliss came out when she called, you know, anyone out. I was like, okay. Because I always think when I think of characters, and I had this conversation with a great colleague of mine recently. I think I might even talk to you about this, but when I think of characters in WrestleMania, I always think about when I think about characters, period, I always think about how will they look at WrestleMania? Like, will they enhance the feel? Will they be excited? Someone like a Taker, of course, every year, I think Finn Balor, his entrance is so amazing that it'll be great to see it at WrestleMania. Triple H always does a good job with his entrances. I think that Naomi I think that Naomi would do a great job just to fill the glow look, just to, you know, 80,000 people.
You need some eyeglasses, you know, because they
hurt
your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But it's great.
Exactly. I think that she would do great. So when I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking I would really like, and I think I've been for Naomi winning the title for quite some time. There was reports that a few years ago, before Oksana jacked up her orbital bone, she was slated to be in the hunt and potentially win the championship. But I think now's the time. I think this is one of her strongest angles, one of her strongest characters, gimmicks that she's had in her entire career. Team Bad, I wasn't a big fan of that.
That never happened.
And I think now she's a solo character. She's on her own. She has a great entrance. I think that her versus Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania would be very good, interesting to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, she has more face time now than her husband. You know, Usos, who are even in the Rumble. You know, the thug Usos.
Right.
You know, the Samoan thugs. Or the old school Samoan SWAT team. It's,
right. Yes. SST.
SST. Paul Heyman. But, I like Naomi. She, you know, a very, very attractive woman. Of course, you need that in wrestling. She's a nice body. She's very athletic. You can work on someone in their speaking skills. So even though her talking isn't the best, it takes time. Everybody's not a Dusty or Flair or Piper or, you know, a Jericho or what have you. So, but yeah, I think it's time. She's hot, good entrance. She now has her own identity. You don't look at it as, oh, that's the Usos' wife.
Exactly.
Now
she's
having her own identity. Let her win at Mania. And I give a shout out to Alexa Bliss. I'm behind with NXT. I'm sorry, y'all. I know what goes on the NXT, but I don't follow it every week. I'm way behind, but I didn't follow anything of Alexa Bliss until she went to SmackDown, and she can talk, and I think she used to be a supermodel and just got to wrestling, and she really can work. And she has a unique look. She reminds me of the Queen from The Huntsman, Cameron Diaz.
Oh, gotcha.
Character. The Queen, the whatever you call it, the Frost Queen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She reminds me of Emma Frost, like if you're a comic book fan. She has that cool, chill look.
Yeah.
Mickie James, great lady, met her in person. I'm glad she's there. Veteran presence.
Yes, I agree. I think Mickie will help Bliss. I think putting the title on Bliss was very premature. Without a doubt, I thought that was premature. But she's a good heel. I'm a fan of that. And real quick, giving Goldberg the mic. It just kills this mistake to me. I meant to say that. I said this yesterday on the Raw Review, but I just want to reiterate that. Keep the mystique of Bill Goldberg. Let us feel like we're teenagers again back 20 years ago. Don't give the guy a mic and flub his lines because everything's scripted now. You know, the Universal, the WWE. I'm like, come on, man. Just
legal.
I mean, well, at the same time, in all fairness, you know, there's lines that you have to read now. You can't do anything by yourself and have a real fail out. And of course, you're.
Unless you're Cena.
Yeah, right.
Or
if you're
Triple
so
H.
Used. Right. There's only probably a few. I had Brad Maddox on my show, and he said, you know, just the. For those,
yeah.
Just Google Brad Maddox, Pancakes and Power Slam to check out the interview. He was talking about just the crazy process that everybody has to go through with cutting promos. Was ridiculous. So,
yeah.
All right, real quick for a second time, let's get to the flavor of the week.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
Matches of the Royal Rumbles between 2008 and 2016. Of course, the winners of 2000 of those years were. John Cena, Randy Orton, Edge, ADR, Alberto Rio, Sheamus, Cena, Batista, Reigns, Triple H. What's your favorite WrestleMania in that time and some memorable matches that you can think of?
You mean my favorite Rumble at that time? You said WrestleMania.
Yeah, your favorite Royal Rumble match of that time, yeah.
The actual Rumble match or like non-Rumble match?
The Rumble match, and then just some favorite matches that you remember in between that time span.
That you know, that's tough. It's, those years are jumbled up to me. I had to do research when you sent me the format. I was like, okay, what year was it? Sheamus winning it, didn't care. Didn't care about Del Rio. Triple H didn't care. It's like we've seen this 15 years ago. Now, the Reigns one I thought was hilarious. I said to be my favorite because... You know, of the hijacking of the fans because they were mad because Daniel Bryan didn't win. And then the fans basically took over and The Rock came out. And The Rock couldn't even save Reigns. And The Rock was out of breath and out of shape. So I would say that would be the favorite because of the fans' participation. Honorable matches. Both got Mysterio winning. Mysterio against Taker from the Rumble 2010.
That was good.
A match that we've only seen... I think twice. I think they only wrestled one other time on SmackDown. And I loved Edge against Mysterio because that was in New York. I don't know if that was 09 or 08. Yeah, I think it was 08, Madison Square Garden, where the crowd turned on Ray and he was cheering Edge.
Yep.
Oh, and I will say this, even though I'm not a big Cena fan, honorable mention to you, the Rumble 08, I think that's when Cena won. Because that was a big surprise. No one saw that coming. So, and how many times did Basically get eliminated last? Like 3-4 times that year, he was the last to get eliminated. But we all know why.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you as far as 08 Cena is concerned. Of course, people know I'm not the biggest Cena fan at all. I like the 08 Rumble period because that's when Jericho came back in 07 and he was feuding with JBL. He won by JBL beat Jericho by disqualification at that time, but I liked that. Orton Hardy was good that year too.
Yeah.
There was a career threatening match leading up to the WrestleMania with Michaels. Flair went against the MVP. So I mean, that was interesting as far as concerned. 09, Edge and Hardy was good. Edge won the title. Orton winning, I wasn't the biggest fan. Oh,
did he eliminate last again? That's right. Bylaws.
It was Triple H. Yep, Triple H. He lasted almost 50 minutes. So, the 2010 was who was the winner for 10? Edge. Yeah, because Edge came back too, and that was
all right.
Decent. Yeah, that was decent. like you said, Tekken Mysterio good was good that year. I mean, every other match was for a championship. ECW championship, Christian and Ezekiel Jackson, Miz and MVP, US, Sheamus and Orton was WWE, and then Mickie James won the Women's Championship in like seconds that year. That was really, really interesting. Which they didn't even bring back. I mean, they didn't even talk about that. That was her last year there, but for some reason, they didn't even talk about that today. 2011 was off to me. I wasn't.
Who won it again? Del Rio?
Del Rio by eliminating Santino.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miz was champ at the time. He beat Orton.
That whole year by itself was weird.
Yeah, it was. It was. Edge and Ziggler was good. The stipulation was kind of stupid as far as Edge not using the spear. Natalya won the Divas Championship. Natalya had the Divas Championship and then lost to Eve Torres, which...
Yeah. Cool.
Exactly.
Right.
2012 with Sheamus. I was not a fan of that at all because they were talking about... I mean, Chris Jericho was slated to win, and because... You know, it was spoiled for him to win. He didn't win. But at the same time, it's like he ended up going against Punk that year for the WWE Championship.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
and that was the whole 8-second thing with Daniel Bryan, which opened the match. So it's like this whole thing is stupid. Like, why didn't you just have Jericho win and go against Punk and... You know, just change it up like Sheamus. That was one of the worst ones to me. That was terrible.
Wasn't it as bad as the 95 Rumble, though? I mean, that has to be one of the worst Rumbles.
Yeah.
Was it as bad as the 95 Rumble?
Well, 95 was Michaels, wasn't it? When he eliminated Bulldog.
Yeah.
I love the Rumble, actually. Not the actual match, but I mean, well, the match was good, but I think Michaels and Bulldog entering 1 and 2 and being the last two there, I think that's, you know.
Well, maybe I'm getting it mixed up. No, maybe it's the 96 Rumble that was bad. Is that when Tenryu was in it? I know Tenryu was in 94, but it was like all of the Mexican Japanese. Was that 96?
96 is when Michaels super kicked Diesel out.
And yeah, like Backlund randomly showing up. Yeah, I'm sorry, the 96 Rumble, I think, was going up was bad. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, 96 was bad. Yeah. Yeah. 2013, who won 2013? It was...
Mysterio?
No, 2013 was Cena again, wasn't it? Yeah, because he eliminated Ryback. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that, too. I think he should have beat Ryback. Rock and CM Punk, you know, CM Punk, his streak gets ended by The Rock, 434 days.
Anybody really count?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody really care?
Yeah. I don't. I've been very vocal about my disinterest in CM Punk. But, you know, there's so many CM Punk fans out there that are, you know, that think he's the reincarnation of Jesus, but unfortunately.
Yeah, get the Raiders, buddy. And real quick, because I had some CM Punk fans try to come at me. Let's break this down. Look at the Raw ratings, okay? And around that time, the highest rated Raw segment was when Batista came back and when they thought Sting was showing up after WrestleMania 30, I believe, 31.
30, yeah.
And 31, by the way, CM Punk never once main evented Raw, and he was the champion. So if Vince McMahon doesn't put you as the main event for Raw, which is the flagship show, and you're the champion, they should let you know what he thinks of you.
Yeah.
You can see me.
I think I kind of like six or seven straight pay-per-views that Cena main evented, including him versus John Laurinaitis. Was it like Over the Edge or something like that? That was a summer pay-per-view that was just
Johnny
that
Ace.
Was horrible. Yeah. Done the people power,
Johnny Ace. Look at you.
Real quick, 2015. Reigns won that. We talked about 2015 already. Lesnar, Rollins, and Cena was a good match. I think that was probably the best match of those, between L8 and 2017. I think that was probably one of the best ones. That match was phenomenal. I was a big fan of that match. And then
wasn't it the birth of Suplex City in a way? Like that was right when Suplex City started.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. And then last year's Roman wasn't bad. I was a big fan of the returning of the whole Flair 92 deal. So it was decent. The undercard matches wasn't the best, but
fear in my eye.
Right. This is the greatest moment of my career. Yeah.
And then you said the same thing when you beat Vader a year later. So, thank you, Rick.
Right. All right, real quick, let's get to the predictions. Royal Rumble. Let's get this going. We have, who do we have this year for the predictions? Real quick. Let's see. Real quick. Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Nikki Bella against Bliss, Mickie James, and Natalya, 6-woman tag match, which is just confirmed. What do you got?
Nikki,
actually,
that's the Bliss team.
Yeah, I agree. Swan and Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Neville, he's a heel. Put him over.
Yeah, I like that too. Charlotte Flair and Bayley.
Who cares, Charlotte?
Yeah, I think Charlotte too. I think they'll save Bayley's moment for Mania. Styles and Cena.
Styles.
Cena. I think they'll. Cena.
You already said it.
Yeah, Cena. Owens and Reigns.
Oh, Lord. Vince McMahon. He'll be the winner.
He's going to come out.
But really?
You all bought an unclined faker.
I sadly just say Reigns. Reigns are going to win.
I agree. Reigns. Pre-show matches. Anderson and Gallows against Sheamus and Cesaro.
Sheamus and Cesaro. That shouldn't be pre-match, by the way.
Yeah. Banks and Jax.
Jax. You got to keep pushing her to be ill.
Yeah. I think they'll do Sasha. Who wins the Royal Rumble?
I have no idea. But I'll tell you who it won't be. Jericho, won't be Mojo Rawley, won't be anybody black. It won't be the Usos. It won't be Braun Strowman. I honestly have no idea. This Rumble, I don't know. Taker maybe, Goldberg, but Goldberg and Brock ain't going to win it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly say it's one of the 3 years. I really have no idea.
Yeah. I think my pick is going to be none other than...
The Undertaker.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, I give it to Taker.
Yeah.
And don't forget,
absolutely.
The Elimination Chamber was an ingenious creation, which Bischoff always laughed when I text him that.
That's absolutely right. Real quick, 15 seconds. Let everybody know where they can find you on Tuesday nights.
Hey, don't forget, listen to us Tuesday nights on blogtalkradio.com under the Met Radio, live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 to 9 p.m. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at tech_UT on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube under the Met Radio. We got a live Skype interview tomorrow night, 7 p.m., blah, 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 with Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson. Thank you very much.
That's right.
Shout out to Wildfoods because it's always about pancakes.
That's right. God bless you all. Fantastic show tonight. Thanks to Duke Galloway. Thanks, Evan. Let's do this again. God bless you all.